There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It is hour two on Friday. My gosh, where is the show going? Where has the week gone? Thank you for showing up all week. We got spring games tonight. Got spring games all over your television tomorrow because I assume that just about everybody listening. I'm going to talk about the SEC Network. And I say this all the time, that if you choose, because you're an adult, most of you, but if you are of age, you're an adult, you get to choose your goals. If you choose, I would like to be wealthy, well, at least adopt some of the habits that you can of the wealthy, how you spend your money, planning, budgeting. There's something out there for everybody. I would like to be lean and in shape. Well, if you want to be lean and in shape, do what lean and shape people do. I think the ACC Network should do what the SEC Network does. Like, price it so it's available on all platforms. Just Chuck's opinion. And the ACC Network, we have some of our very good friends, Roddy Jones, Mark Packer, Chris Cotter, so many folks who have been on. But the higher-ups, for what I don't – and again, it ain't coming from ESPN. You know what ESPN wants? Distribution. The SEC Network, and I'm sure it's gone up. But when it debuted 7 years ago, it was about $15 a year. Might have been $16. Maybe it's doubled. I'm going to say it's doubled. $30 a year. And that's because I'm in a particular footprint. If you live in Portland, Maine, or Oregon, it's even less than that. And the weird part is, do you know what the SEC Network's real footprint is? Key West to Anchorage? And they're like, nah, we're just going to make sure we would rather be, Davis Brothers. Do anybody remember Davis Brothers Cafeteria? There was Piccadilly, Morrison's, et cetera. Well, there used to be Davis Brothers. And it was purchased at some point and kind of folded into, I think, Morrison's. Davis Brothers, they made like 25 cents per meal. But they said, we serve more meals than anybody. That's the SEC Network. They're like, we're going to be everywhere. And the ACC, so I can say all over your TV screen, if you're listening right now, I don't care where you are, you probably have SEC Network. I don't know if you have the ACC Network. I have to have the ACC Network, and I missed half that Clemson-Georgia Tech game figuring out that Hulu and Hulu Live, those are not the same things. So get with it. Dan, did DodgerNet ever get a – how'd that Dodger thing, Sportsnet LA?
I think they're still having trouble with distribution.
There were – now, this goes back a few years, and I'm sure it's changed. I don't know if it's changed. But there was a season maybe 5 years ago – and I think it's when the Astros had gotten kind of good. And in the Houston area, they had a local rating of 0.0. And I think the Rockets got caught up in that as well.
Yeah, it was with Comcast.
That's what it was. And so local ratings, 0.0. Spurs are like, anybody in Houston want our rights? We'd like to be on. So it happens all over the place. The sale price of the Dodgers, whatever it was, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, however long, that was contingent on, hey, we're about to have this network, and we're going to charge everybody. And still, relative to what it's supposed to be, nobody carries it. So we got spring games all over everywhere tomorrow. You will see some on your TV in the SEC Network, maybe the ACC Network, I hope so, Big Ten Network, et cetera. I'm just going to give a couple of headlines quickly. NCAA Division I Council formally approves new transfer rules. That happened yesterday. It happened on Wednesday, but it was advanced to the NCAA Rules Committee to be voted on, and I believe that's April 28th. So, but that's going to happen. So it's official as of yesterday. Also very important and sort of the same. We talked about this, man. It's going to look like Midnight Madness. June 1, Division I sports regular recruiting calendars to resume June 1. Now, there are places where this will not be apples to apples. All will not – everything being equal, everything's not going to be equal June 1st. Do you know why? Because I'm going to – like in Texas – in Mississippi, in Florida, come one, come all. We're having a huge night. You're going to have a midnight madness at Florida State. I'm using them as an example. If you're in Tallahassee, don't go, really? Honey, let's make some plans. Somewhere, there's going to be midnight madness. We've talked about it. They're going to treat it like Kentucky did basketball. Other places, you still can't gather more than is it Wisconsin or Michigan? Is Michigan where it's so still just a wildfire? Yeah, I don't think Jim Harbaugh is going to have a bang-up recruiting event on June 1. So things still don't look so sad, David. So all things are not equal. But the NCAA has said, we brought this in on March 13th last year. We are not going to extend it again. We're going to let the dead period expire. June 1, on-campus, live, face-to-face recruiting. Like I said, there are like Michigan, Michigan State. I don't believe they're going to have events. Not June 1st or 2nd or 10th or 30th. I believe in Mississippi and Florida and Texas and a lot of other places. Oh, I think you'll have as many events as you're allowed to by the calendar. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back, talk spring games next.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Alabama's got them a spring game tomorrow, and we will certainly talk that, but I'm going to start with our next guest with a recruiting question because I gave you the news, I believe it was yesterday or maybe it's 2 days ago. Very large human committed to the Alabama program. Jaheim Otis, I believe is how you pronounce his name. 6'4", 350-pound defensive tackle, kid out of Mississippi that Saban has been on since he was an eighth grader. And he committed to Alabama, and that gave Alabama, I believe, their fourth four-star recruit. And they got 2 5-star. I'm like, wait a minute. You're not supposed – it's April. What are you doing recruiting? Alabama's supposed to be ranked like 112th in recruiting right now, with like a 3-star kid who doesn't have a real offer. He's like, I'm going to Bama. That's where Bama is. And Nick Saban's like, yeah, we're good. Not this year. Want to welcome on a man who knows as much as anybody we have on Talking Tide. From Huntsville's 97.7 ESPN, it is Drew DeArmond. And Drew, my friend, how are you?
Good, Chuck. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well. What's Saban and Alabama doing recruiting this early?
Well, you know, I think it's changing a little bit with the dead period coming to an end in June. You know, certainly A-Day has always been a big, week for them in recruiting if you look back at his tenure in Tuscaloosa. But I think, you know, a lot of these commitments come out of nowhere because Coach Saban has been on Zoom with a kid. We kind of got, you know, knew that something was in the wind a couple of days ago because Pete Golding, the defensive coordinator, you know, tweeted something suspicious that kind of looked like good news might be around the corner. We didn't have a name, certainly did not know, you know, what was coming down the pike, but it was big, literally and figuratively, and you brought up Jaheim Otis. Yes, I mean, he first rose to fame 3 years ago when Nick Saban offered him in the eighth grade. I mean, they've known him for a long time. He's camped at Alabama pretty much every year until last year, of course, when all those were canceled. But he's turned in, really, to the number one prospect in Mississippi from Columbia High School. You mentioned his size. I was a little bit amused because I went to his Twitter account, and it said 6'5". 285-pound athlete. Well, that was back in middle school because he's well over to the 300-pound
bear. Yes, he is.
Very long man who can move with a great feet. You know, he could be he's probably an OLBL candidate. Could be an offensive guard potentially. But when you watch his tape, which is right now all we've seen is sophomore film. His sophomore film's pretty good, Chuck. I mean, he moves really well. You know, he's quick off the snap, quick twitch. He'll be an interior defensive lineman, and I think that's significant because Nick Saban in this class, in the 2022 group, we believe that the defensive line is going to be the backbone of that. And, of course, that would entail that they sign 5 or 6 DLs, and Jaheim Otis is a big piece of that.
All right, let's talk about the scrimmage tomorrow. And, you know, somebody said, oh, he went full-on Saban on a couple of reporters. I was like, uh-oh. Nah, it was like Nerf Saban. It was a little bit. But somebody had asked about him being happy with the progress of Bryce Young. I think the statement I saw, quote, Bryce Young is our quarterback right now. You tell me about the quarterback position because Nick Saban is not showing cards.
No, he's not, but Bryce Young is comfortably in the lead right now. I mean, I think he's had a very, very solid spring. And understand, you know, he didn't have a spring last year at Alabama. Really, he's only had 3 scrimmages in his Tide career because he only had 1 in the fall due to COVID issues. So, but I think he's been very solid. He certainly had 1 turnover in the last scrimmage. It was a really fine play by, sophomore DB Marcus Banks, who's competing for that open corner slot that Patrick Surtain has now vacated to move on to the NFL. But, I think Bryce Young has looked very solid. I think he's comfortable in the offense. He's made the most wow throws of the 2 scrimmages. Certainly Jalen Milroe took a big jump forward as a young player in this last scrimmage. But Paul Tyson's been not 100%. Chuck, he's got a significant hamstring injury, and yet he's strapped it up and competed due to the fact he doesn't want to miss scrimmage time trying to win this quarterback job. But right now, the sophomore from modern day, Bryce Young, is comfortably in the lead, and it will be the case headed into fall camp.
Now, I don't mean to make it sound like a 20-year-old kid who's played 2 seasons of college ball has it all figured out, but John Metchie not playing in the spring is fine for John Metchie. I think that's part of it, though, for the quarterbacks, because nobody's really lit it up on a day-by-day basis, and you don't have your best guy out there. But who's taking advantage of that? Because that means there were snaps available without Metchie practicing.
Yeah, I mean, and they haven't done a lot with Slade Bolden because they know what they have
exactly.
With him. It's really been about young players. Watch for Javon Baker. I mean, I think he had a big touchdown catch in the second scrimmage. He and Bryce Young seem to be on the same page. He's got a lot of swagger. When he was coming out of McEachern and Powder Springs, I had a town evaluator that I really respect more than anyone that I know tell me, you know, he called me and said, okay, what's the deal with Baker? Why didn't he sign early? And I said, well, he's got some academic things he needs to take care of, but they really like him. He says, well, they better hold on to him because he's going to be a big-time player. I really like the way he runs routes. I like the way he handles himself. He's very competitive. And he's been, you know, really good. A spot in that top 3 or 4, no question about that. Xavier Williams is another experienced player. We haven't seen a ton of him, but I think they trust X. But this has really been about taking a look at the Trayshawn Holmes, the Javon Baker, same deal. Tyu Jones-Bell, who had a big 40-yard touchdown reception from Jalen Milroe. And then taking a look at the three freshmen, which ones are ready to, you know, to push. And that's, of course, Ja'Cory Brooks, you know, and Christian Leary. And then the one that's been the most impressive, Ajai Hall. I mean, those three guys have had some drops, but Ajai Hall has shown a lot of grit, made some plays, impressed Bill O'Brien. And of the three true freshmen, I think in the fall, Ajai Hall has the best chance to push for some playing time.
Wrapping up with Drew DeArmond from 97.7 ESPN Huntsville. Drew, you know, this is not just like ABC after-school special stuff here. This is real. Like when Kamara left, it worked out for Alabama and Alvin Kamara. He got an NFL career out of it. Alabama got a Heisman Trophy winner at tailback, you know, that season. So it worked out. There's no getting around it. Somebody's got to leave that running back depth chart, if not more than one somebody. Tell me just specifically, I'm going to give you two names. Tell me the best these kids can be individually. Jace McClellan, Roydell Williams.
Well, I think that's going to be your second and third guys right there, Chuck. Roydell Williams was the best offensive player on the field with his opportunities this past Saturday. Had over 100 yards, had a couple touchdowns. He was the only back to score on goal line work. He reminds me a lot of Josh Jacobs. He's got a combination of quick twitch, elusiveness. He's got some power. He has breakaway speed. He had a 40-plus yard touchdown run. You know, I think Jace was really good in the first scrimmage. They know what they have with Brian Robinson. And now I think it's interesting. Keelan Robinson has basically made the move to full-time slot receiver. You know, Nick Saban kind of mentioned it after the scrimmage. He did not have any receptions due to the fact that he did have a drop, but he's still trying to learn the playbook. Yeah. They like Keelan as a guy that can return kickoffs, perhaps be involved in the punt return, but especially the kickoff return game with Roydell Williams. But they want to get him in space. They think he can give the wide receiver corps some juice. And as you said, there's so much depth there at the running back spot. Even without Kamar Wheaton, who could arguably be the top running back in the 2021 class, he's going to be there in May. But, you know, they still got five guys. But Trey Sanders is likely – I don't want to guarantee anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has to spend this 2021 season continuing to recover from the car accident. So there you go. That will be five guys when Kamar Wheaton gets there, because guess what? Kyle Edwards, a redshirt freshman from Dutchtown, Louisiana, had a touchdown catch and a touchdown run in the scrimmage, and he would start, in my opinion, for at least half the SEC schools. So you're right. There's probably going to be some attrition, but I think Jace McClellan and Roydell Williams, along with Brian Robinson, are going to have significant roles in this running game come the fall.
I even think it worked out for D. Hart. I think he had a 1,000-yard season at Colorado State. So
he certainly did. He did. You're right.
Drew, I appreciate your time, brother. Thank you for the insight always.
Thanks, Chuck. Always appreciate it.
All right. That's Drew DeArmond. Yeah, D. Hart. Tiny little Drew D. Hart. He was never going to get a lot of run at Bama. They had a season opener, a neutral site game in Atlanta. Maybe it was – did they play Virginia Tech in two of those? And D got some action that night, but it was just never a whole lot. And so he goes out to Colorado State, had him a 1,000-yard season, and it was probably never going to happen for him full-time on Sundays. Didn't have that size. It would have to be a very special thing, like Jaquiz Rogers, if you remember him out of Oregon State. I got news for you. Like Noel Devine. Do you remember Noel Devine at West Virginia? He never got more than like a practice whisper in the NFL. And you talk about, I mean, a devastating, worst thing in college football for a defender. And what would this have been, like 04, 05? I'm in the open field against Noel Devine. I mean, literally the number one player in college football you would not want to be around. He couldn't make it in the NFL, wasn't big enough. And so, you know, you see those kids sometimes, and it's just it just reminds you the difference between Saturdays and Sundays. But D. Hart, he got him a season in college. And sometimes that's winds up, you know, what it's about for a kid. In fact, that's kind of normal what it is. So appreciate Drew coming on. As I said, up next, well, we talked to Alabama and we talked their spring game. Next, we're going to go all around the SEC with a guy who covers all around the SEC from CBS Sports, all points off that hub. It's going to be Barrett Salee next.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand in hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise. our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Rolling through hour two on a Friday. It is the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 51 sticks, dealing it out 2 hours a day. Been doing that since the beginning of the 2014 season. Appreciate y'all putting that blessing in my life. Want to head out now to a close personal friend of mine and the show. It is Barrett Salee from All Point CBS Sports. Barrett, brother, how are you today?
I'm good, Chuck. Glad to be on with you again. Glad to talk actual college football games-ish.
Man, no kidding. Not testing and, you know, who's out and everything else. And spring games in the SEC, I believe everybody but Florida and Kentucky either have had them or will have them. Let's talk about what's going tomorrow. How will the offense in Tuscaloosa look, at least at the outset of the season?
I think it's going to look a lot like the Texans' offense with Deshaun Watson. And I'm not saying that Bryce Young is Deshaun Watson. But from a skill set standpoint, he's a lot like Deshaun Watson. Great arm, can complete it downfield. And I think from a running standpoint, maybe not what Deshaun Watson was at Clemson, but pretty darn close. He's an effective runner. And so I think you're looking at Bill O'Brien, and if you're looking at that roster, if you're Bill O'Brien, you say, okay, what are my quarterback strengths? And we all know it's going to be Bryce Young. And I think it's going to be pretty much what they ran with Houston. Because you know you've got the receivers, even though I know John Metchie hasn't been a number one. I don't think there's any doubt.
Oh, he's fine. Yeah,
he's fine. So I think that's what it's going to look like. And I know, you know, people don't like to talk about Deshaun Watson right now for good reason, but I think from a skill set standpoint, Bryce Young is very similar, and I don't see why Bill O'Brien would want to do anything different because it worked before. Why wouldn't it work again?
If Bo Nix would have had unending eligibility, I don't think it ever would have happened for him with Gus as the head coach. That was the kind of thing that kid popped out of the womb, and his fate was already decided. And I don't think it was good for him or Gus. Tell me what you think is possible for Bo Nix these final couple seasons.
Okay, I'm not going to buy into Bo Nix until he gets protection. Plain and simple. The offensive line at Auburn was a joke the last couple of years. And that's not due to lack of talent, well, a couple of years ago anyway. Maybe it was last year. But Bo Nix is a deer in headlights. It's as clear as day. Some of that's on him. A lot of that's on the offensive line. So in this new offense with Brian Harsin and I think a guy in Mike Bobo who's very underrated, I think the chances of him succeeding probably go up. But unless the offensive line gets significantly better, they're not going to go up that much. Now, I think the one sort of caveat to that is that Brian Harsin's calling card when he was at Boise State, it wasn't the quarterbacks, it wasn't the tricks and all this other stuff. It was offensive line play. Like, that's what he excelled at. So there's that aspect of it too. And that's why I'm so interested to watch the offensive line tomorrow for Auburn, because if they play well, then that is a huge sign moving forward. And that should make Bo Nix's job a lot easier. And then it's on him at that point to live up to the hype. But I think you're right when you said that his fate was already sealed for him, and being in Gus's offense just was not a good fit at all. Talent theoretically is there, but I don't know. We'll see if it doesn't happen early in the season. I don't see when it ever. I think at that point you got to close the book.
Tank played like 6 games last year. I think he's the best running back in the conference. Am I a little too high on him?
Did you say country?
Okay, go ahead.
Country? I mean, he might be. He's up there. You know, I think, and a joke a little bit about that. Limited track record, because like you said, he didn't play that much. I still would say Isaiah Spiller at Texas A&M right now.
Tough.
Yeah, based on what he's done and the resume he's put out, that he's better. I think that will change by the time the leaves can change color, because Tank Bigsby is so good. And I think, again, you look at what Brian Harsin does. He runs downhill. What does Mike Bobo do? He runs downhill. That was, in theory, what an Auburn offense was supposed to look like under Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
They didn't block anybody, and Gus was extremely predictable. So I think that'll change for Tank. I think he'll be the best running back in the SEC this year. But right now, if I had to say who's the best right this very second based on, you know, projections but also resume, I'd have to go Isaiah Spiller, at least for now.
Folks, you can get this kind of commentary every single day whenever you want it. Follow him on Twitter, at Barrett Salee. You won't spell it correctly the first time, but you'll get close. Also, all CBS, everything, SiriusXM, CBS Sports Online, CBS Sports HQ, if you want to watch him, all that, Barrett Salee. Let's stay in the SEC, and we'll stay in the West. I seem to like Miles Brennan better than his head coach, better than any LSU fan. I'm like, I watched him last year. He was good, but it's Max Johnson's show, and I'm actually waiting to get something that suggests otherwise at this point.
It's funny because I've listened to Ed talk and read some of his quotes, and I had the same reaction you did. Like, did he not watch Miles Brennan? Like, did he not? Was he so angry at Bo Pelini that he didn't watch Miles Brennan for the first three, four, however many games he played before he got hurt? Because Miles Brennan was good. And nothing against Mac Johnson, you're right. You know, he played well. I think TJ Finley's probably third in that race. But I don't understand why Miles Brennan gets this bad rap. I think it part of it might be laziness, because LSU was such a negative storyline early last season, and Miles Brennan was on that team and a part of that discussion because he was on the team, not because he was an awful player. So I don't know. I can't imagine a situation where Ed Orgeron does not start Miles Brennan. And if he doesn't, I get the sense this might be comparable to Kyle Frazier at Auburn in 2012, where things go south and Ed gets fired.
Oh, wow. 3 yards and a pint of blood. All right.
More than a pint.
let's stay in the West. One more question. If Ole Miss is, I'm not going to say good on defense, but you know, whatever, fill in whatever, they provide some resistance on, they're going to be better. They will. They absolutely will be better. Can the offense keep up? Because they have a lot of really fun offensive pieces that are going to be in the NFL.
Yeah, they can. I'll say this about the defense. If the defense is mediocre, Ole Miss can beat anybody. It just doesn't have to be. It just can't be god awful. Like, it just can't be god awful, because that offense. Look, Lane is trying to turn Ole Miss into Oklahoma, right? Where you can score 45. You might give up 48, but you can score 45. I'm talking about Oklahoma pre last season when their defense was really good.
Yeah, sure.
But that's what he is sort of laying out right now, and then eventually the defense tags along. Because, look, Lane knows, and we all know this now too, that offense drives the bus. Offense wins championships. So how are you going to win games consistently? You have to score 45, 48 points. Now, if you can give up 30 and consistently put up 40, you're doing all right. So I think that, for lack of a better term, Ole Miss is going to be the most annoying team in the SEC to opponents, because those coaches are going to look at that offense and be like, holy crap, how do we do this? How do we keep up? And then, you know, if their defense plays mediocre, then they have a chance. If they play god-awful, they won't.
I want to ask you about State a little bit, because I wanted, you know, I hear the same question. I've asked the question, and it's not the right one. Is it going to work at Mississippi State with Mike Leach? Will it work? I need to define what work is. What do you think for Mississippi State fans work is? Because Dan Mullen, it worked with Dan Mullen. And that was a little more than just bowl eligible.
Yeah, for fans, Mike Leach making it work would be doing what Dan Mullen did, going to bowl games, being in the discussion once every few years, being a dynamic offense that every single game out has a chance to put up some fireworks. And I think that's a little unfair, because that really, in reality, Dan Mullen was the best coach in Mississippi State history. I don't even think it's close. And I think that because of that, he spoiled them. Look, I think, and I don't mean to compare Mississippi State to Vanderbilt, but when James Franklin won 9 games in consecutive seasons at Vanderbilt, that spoiled that fan base. And what Dan Mullen did at Mississippi State was like 10 times that. And I think the expectations for Mike Leach were way too high. And in reality, what he's going to be is a coach that, yeah, his offense is going to click. We saw that sometimes last year, and then sometimes it's going to tank. We saw that last year. There's not going to be much in between. And so 6-6 is what you're looking at. 7-5 is what you're looking at. That's not enough for Mississippi State fans, but I think it's the reality for what Mike Leach can do.
A couple of questions from the East for Let You Run. If UF's opponent week 3 was anyone other than UF's opponent week 3, Alabama, how much action do you think Anthony Richardson would be getting the first couple of weeks? Because I got news for you. That is not the environment where you're making sure the freshman gets a little run. That's a situation where you make Emory Jones get every live snap possible leading up to that game.
I don't think it has anything to do with it, honestly.
Okay.
I think Emory is Dan's boy. Like, that is just – that's – he targeted him as soon as he got that job. He was the centerpiece. And I know Richardson's a great player. I know the hype is there. But I don't think the Alabama game has anything to do with the fact that Dan is going to give Emory Jones every single chance possible to keep that job. I think Dan is of the mindset, and I think you probably agree, that he wants to be the smartest person in every room and actually thinks that he is the smartest person in every room.
And sometimes he is.
And sometimes he actually
is. I interviewed Jay Billis, and I told him, I was like, I think you are the smartest guy in almost every room. And he was like, depends on the room.
You're right. But I think if Anthony Richardson, if he thought Anthony Richardson was the guy, he'd throw him out there game one and say, dude, go do your thing. Don't care. We're playing Alabama. I'm going to out-coach Nick Saban. We're going to win the game. Right? Like, that's what mm-hmm. that would be Dan Mullen's mindset if it wasn't Emory Jones from the jump. So I just think it's going to be Emory Jones from the jump. Unless Richardson gives Dan something really, really big to chew on, I just don't see it.
Two quick questions. Best running back in Athens. It's okay to say Zamir. It's okay. Nobody wants Zamir. To say Zamir.
No. I know. No one wants to. I mean, yeah, it's Zamir. Doesn't it happen, Zeus?
It would be news, and I would entertain. You can tell me why James Cook is really good or Kendall Milne's really good. Okay, we got that one settled. Second, the final thing here, and you can, you know, walk with this if you want to. I have a feeling that Hendon Hooker is going to have a pretty dang productive season. Team's not going to be good, and they're not going to win many games, but I think Hendon Hooker is going to be a rep, because nobody watches the ACC if you're a diehard SEC fan, certainly not Virginia Tech. I think that kid's going to have a really good season.
Is he going to beat out Harrison Bailey?
Yes.
Like, I'm not saying he – I think that's a legit question, and I think that's a good problem to have, because Josh Heupel has had success with quarterbacks. We've seen that. Right? Not just at UCF, you know, throughout his assistant coaching career, too. And if you've got a 5-star kid versus an experienced transfer, with Heupel sort of behind, you know, being the one that pulls the strings, that's a good problem. So I tend to think, yeah, Hendon Hooker's going to win that job and that he's going to be very good, just like you do. I think if Harrison Bailey wins that job, he's going to be pretty good.
Oh, thought you lost you.
No, I'm here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it was pretty abrupt in there. I appreciate you coming on there, Barrett. And I meant to ask you, I was going to text you, did I see motocross in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago? What was going on?
Saturday, Tuesday, and then tomorrow as well.
Oh, really?
Race residency at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
That's exactly awesome. Where it was, Atlanta Motor Speedway. I was like, wait a minute, they're running bikes down at the track. I assume you're going to be in attendance or have been?
I was there Saturday. Couldn't go Tuesday. Can't go tomorrow because of spring games. But I did go Tuesday, had the kids. We had a good old time. And it was weird not being at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for it. But I think a far more important process is going on at Mercedes-Benz Stadium right now. But, man, it was fun at AMS. There's no doubt.
Absolutely. All right, brother. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, Barrett's Lee. Yeah, Barrett, huge Supercross fan. I got to say, and I don't know any of the players. I mean, I can still tell, you know, Bob Hurricane Hannah and, you know, whoever else from, you know, when I was growing up. But if you've never been to one in person, it's fun. Now, I've been to all the motorsports activities, but inside, like in a domed setting, when you get Truckosaurus and Fordzilla going at each other, when you get the demolition derbies, the quad wars, all those things inside, it's just unbelievable. Just now, understand, this is going to be a compliment. Because redneck, I don't think, is pejorative. It is awesome redneck fun. And I've tried to explain to people, somebody, redneck, I was like, ooh, you're not offended? I was like, no, redneck is not an offensive. Hick is offensive. Hick is uneducated, discussions of how many branches, etc. Redneck is grits and NASCAR. That's all that is. So, no, that's not offensive at all. But if you ever have a chance to go, even if you don't know any of the competitors, it is fun. So appreciate Barrett's time. We're going to break, wrap up next.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand in hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
We're blessed to have these 16 mid-years to come in and provide us probably the most numbers, just sheer numbers, we've ever had in a spring practice because of some returners and also some new guys. So that combination has given us a good quality number of guys to work with.
That is awesome. Kirby Smart talking about Georgia program right now, and that's not something I don't believe you hear very often. In fact, I believe the industry term, re-rack. David, would you re-rack? I just want to hear the first 5-6 seconds. I'm going to tell you when to cut that quote off again. There is something Kirby says there that jumped out at the very beginning that I promise you, you just do not hear a coach say very often. Start that. Just play the first. I'll tell you when to stop it.
We're blessed to have these 16 mid-years.
There you go. 16? My goodness gracious. You got 16 young men. Come on, come on. Well, how can we do that? Because the departing seniors don't count. What? Oh, that's right. What was I saying the other day that Ole Miss brought in 12 on defense? Defense, folks. Kirby's like, yeah, we got 16. Lane Kiffin's like, I got 12 on defense. Kirby says, I got 16. Lane, what was the number? 8 in the secondary? Wow. Such an advantage. Not for the 21 season in almost every case. Such an advantage for what these kids, how they can function in August and heading into the season, mostly in the context of practice and pushing teammates. But it will pay dividends beginning next year, I promise you. When it's their, actually, you know what? When it becomes their second spring practice, then that's when you start really seeing, you know, separation, you know, growth from kid to man, et cetera. So that was Kirby. And just, like I said, getting ahead of the G game tomorrow. Dan Matthews pop in just a minute, but I am going to wrap this up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
I've got four places in the SEC that you can't take your starting quarterback to SEC media days, and it's for the exact same reason. If you look across the conference, there are some guarantees. Mike Bo Nix, he's supposed to be at media days. There are some questions. Emory Jones will be the starter, and if there is a starter that we know is going to happen, especially in a place like Florida, well, we want to hear from the quarterback. I think that that's a likely. That's a likely. And it may be. I've seen media days, including a kid bringing him. I've seen that used as a sort of boost into, okay, you're going to be the leader now, so the leader does this kind of stuff. I've seen that happen as well, some kid kind of being pushed into it. Four SEC teams, though, won't take a quarterback to SEC media days, despite kind of being certain who the starter is, and it's going to be for the same reason, and it's that phrase, you can't take him. At South Carolina, Luke Doty is going to be, I guess, a redshirt freshman. Brother, he's starting. That's done. Can you take a redshirt freshman who has played 2.5 games to media days, drop him in that wood chipper and say, go ahead, have fun? That's what I'm saying. You can't take him to media days. Whoever wins the A&M job, you got plenty enough to deal with Jimbo. Do you know why you don't want to go to media days? Because you get 2 days without him. And I like Jimbo. And maybe everybody on the roster other than the quarterbacks will go, what's the problem with Jimbo? Quarterbacks say, got a minute? He's very demanding, and his way works. His way, so he's doing it right. But you can't take Haynes King to SEC media days. I don't think you can take Will Rogers, can you? Like Mike Leach, now see, here's the one out. Mike Leach is going to suck the air out of the entire building the day Mississippi State's there. And so maybe you bring Will Rogers and nobody even knows that's who it is. But I don't think you can. And the only other one is Arkansas, because somebody, it's likely to be Jefferson. It could be Hornsby, same sort of thing. I just don't think you can bring him. I thought about Ken Seals at Vanderbilt. Well, he's going to be a redshirt freshman. It's a little different with what he went through last year with all the experience he got. So that is my opine as of April 16th, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander Shannara and Associates. What up, Dan?
I do hope that I get an opportunity to ask Mike Leach if indeed animals will someday rise up against humans. Like, that is something that I would like to get his thoughts on that. By the way, too, before we get out of here for the weekend, did you know that Ed Orgeron kind of broke the secret that everybody in college football should know but probably doesn't? The word vanilla. He said on Saturday, yeah, we're going to be vanilla.
He did.
And most fans probably say, or not necessarily care what the football looks like because it's actual football. But for teams out there, Chuck, to your point that you proved earlier in the week or that you brought up, there's a reason why they bring Darius Rucker out to catch a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Or Steve Spurrier to throw one. Or over at Georgia Tech, Joe Hamilton. It's because, guess what? That's one less play that I have to show you on tape. And in terms of the game, I'm going to be at tomorrow, Georgia. Of course, Kirby Smart doesn't want to show anything to Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, we were talking 93K there earlier in 16. And I remember Jacob Eason came out. And I was like, you talk about scripting some stuff for the freshmen. Look good. That's what it's supposed to be, the spring game. All right, wraps it up. See y'all Monday with more college football conversation.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.